them. Hallelujah. Because God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to continue to talk about something that is so vitally important. I think that when Thanksgiving is over, we move toward Christmas. We move out of that Thanksgiving mode. And I just want to say to you, happy Thanksgiving today.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be surprised if I don't say on Christmas Day, if I should meet you, instead of just Merry Christmas, say happy Thanksgiving to you. Amen. Because every heart in this room, you may not feel it at the time, and I understand. I've been where you are. You say, Brother Bumble, I've never seen you discouraged. That's because you don't live with me 24/7. And you have seen me under the anointing most of the time. Can you say amen? How many know most of the time when you see me, it's in that anointed sense? You might see me over to Christmas party somewhere eating nanner pudding, and I look pretty happy even doing that. Can you say amen? I've never been too discouraged to eat nanner pudding. Oh, I know it's banana. Come on, give me a break. Look, point at him. Yeah, okay, all right. Oh, sweet potato pie. Tater pie. Tater, yeah. He is from West Virginia. I believe him now. Praise God. Hallelujah. How important is Thanksgiving? A greatly grateful heart is what God is looking for. So much hinges on it and depends on it. Without it, if you become ungrateful, and you hit a trial, and you lose that grateful heart because you're deep in that valley, and you forget to give God thanks. Listen, your key today, right where you are, your key to victory is not just developing your faith initially. It is cultivating a thankful heart in all things. Because if you get discouraged, you won't use your faith. It won't be that you don't have faith, but you won't use your faith. I want to explain something up front to you. It's possible to be discouraged and still have faith. Because you are a triune being. You are a spirit. You have a soul, the seat of your emotions and the will and the decision processes. And you live in a house called the body. Can you say amen? And it's possible to be discouraged in the soul part of you and have faith sown in your spirit, man. But when you're discouraged, it's not that you don't have faith. Listen, you have faith. Number one, you have it because to every man was given a measure of it. So there's no one in here without faith. How many has ever crossed the Skyway Bridge? You got faith. I told you you had faith. You're in a car that weighs 2,000 pounds or 2,500 SUV. And you're running 65 miles an hour across all of that water. And you have such faith in the engineers that drew up those plans. And in the people that came out and built that bridge. Can you say, man, that you don't think twice about getting right out in the middle of all of that water in that big vehicle? Because you're confident that the people that drew it up and the people that built that thing and the people that inspected it and gave it the okay knew what they were doing. Have you ever met any of them? Do you know any of them personally? Of course not. But you're confident that they know what they're doing enough. Amen. Are you a close friend to the engineer that drew it up? No. But you believe. And one reason you believe, you see other people doing it too. Car in front of you just went over that sucker. Amen. I would like to be the second one across after they open it. Just, you know, just make sure. I've often heard this about faith. I've often heard this about faith. I want you to hear. You probably heard this before. But they do all kinds of crazy stuff. Stunts, daredevil stunts around Niagara Falls. People get in barrels and go over the fall. Why people want to do that, I don't know. Amen. Life gives me enough bumps and scrapes. I don't need to get in a barrel and go over the falls. Obviously, they don't live where I live in life. Roller coasters don't turn me on. My life is full of those kind of incidents where you go up to this great high place and you're so happy going up, you can see out everywhere. And you're up there looking out over everything saying, wow, look at this view. And then all of a sudden, down you go and around you go. That's life for me. But God is in all of it. But listen to me carefully. This guy is he walks a tightrope. He spans Niagara Falls right up where it comes over the crest into that great deep below. He spans it with a tightrope. And a crowd gathers because they see this man is going to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And he's got this thing to balance himself. And he looks out at this crowd that's gathering and say, "How many of you believe that I am able to do this?" Of course, everybody wants to see him do it. Amen. So they say, "Yes, yes, I believe." There's a thing out there at Christmas this year. I think it was based on some movie, maybe. I believe. I guess it's in Santa Claus. I don't know. But I believe too. But my belief is different than that belief. Amen. So, yeah, we believe you can do it. So he says, "All right." And he walks across Niagara Falls. And he walks back across Niagara Falls. And they give him a hand clap. By then, the crowd is tripled. And they're really getting into this thing. He said, "How many believe that I am able to walk across Niagara Falls pushing a wheelbarrow?" "I believe." Everybody believes he can do it. He's confident in himself. I'm confident he can do it. So he grabs the wheelbarrow, and here he starts, and he goes all the way across, turns around, and walks all the way back with the wheelbarrow. Everybody's gasping at this and saying, "Wow." He says, "Now, how many believe that I can walk across and come back with the wheelbarrow blindfolded?" Man, they're really with him now. Faith is rising in the crowd. "I believe." And when they hollered, "I believe," he said, "Who will get into the wheelbarrow?" Amen. See, faith is not just getting worked up into a positive attitude. Faith is knowing and trusting God enough to get in the wheelbarrow. Yes. And that's where he wants to bring our faith. And sometimes that means not just believing him for some grand thing, but trusting him in some great trial. Yes, everybody say, trusting him in a great trial. It takes more faith to trust him in a great trial than it does to believe him for a grand thing. Can you say amen? Because believing him for a grand thing, you're not already predispositioned to discouragement. But in a great trial, you are predispositioned to discouragement. And when discouragement settles in, you won't use your faith. And when you don't use your faith, the shield comes down. And the fiery darts of the wicked, and they're targeted at your heart. Can you say amen? Listen to this. God has sown faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it doesn't initially start in your soulish man. It goes directly to your spirit man. Faith is sown in your spirit. Listen to this. Be strengthened with all might in your inward man. Amen. Though the outward man perish, everybody say the inward man. Is renewed day by day. The spirit of a man, the inward man, will sustain his infirmities, whatever you're facing. If you're not wounded inwardly in the inward man, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Satan's ultimate goal in discouragement is to get to your spirit, not just your mind, but to get to your spirit. Can you say amen? Because if he gets to your spirit and you become wounded in your spirit, amen, discouraged in your mind, then he has you in a vulnerability, amen, where you have faith that would constitute a great shield against him, but you're not using your faith. You have faith that would make the word of God come alive in your heart, in your life. Amen. But the Bible said that the reason Israel turned back, they had the gospel preached unto them, not like I'm preaching it to you, but in type and in foreshadow. Can you say amen? They had the gospel preached unto them, Hebrews said, just like we have the gospel preached unto us. But it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Satan knows the power of our trust in our God. He knows what God has done. God's got a track record of faithfulness, of never disappointing those that put their trust wholly in Him. You and I can be defeated, but God can never be defeated. Can you say amen? We can be discouraged, but God is never discouraged. We can feel forsaken, but God has not ever forsaken us. I'll never leave you. The Greek is emphatic. I will never, no, never. Hallelujah. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may. But I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. Want to touch that covenant stuff just a little while. Amen. This is covenant love. It's not based on your performance. It's based on His commitment to keep His commitment. Hallelujah. He said, I could swear by no greater. No one greater than me that I can swear by. So I swore by myself. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I will not lie to David. If I promised him deliverance, I'll come through. If I promised him that I wouldn't leave him, I won't leave him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Discouragement is Satan's grandest tool. Told you this story before, but it's such an illustration. It said that Satan had a yard sale, and all his destructive tools were being sold to demons that he was sending out. And they said, I want some of those tools that Satan himself uses. I want some of those things that work so well against Christians and people in general. I want some of those tools. And they were buying them and paying big prices for them at this yard sale. And one particularly evil demon approached the booth, and he said, he looked at everything on the counter for sale and said, you know, I really don't see anything here that I really want. But there's something on that top shelf in the back. I want to buy that weapon. And Satan said, that weapon is not for sale. And this evil demonic entity said, but I'll pay any price for it. And Satan said, it's not for sale at any price. Because with that weapon, I can use it to get into a man's heart or a woman's heart that is called of God, anointed of God, appointed of God. If I can get this in, though they have armor, that armor will be laid aside and they will become vulnerable to me. If I can get this into the heart, this is a wedge to get into the heart, and its name is discouragement. It's not have. See, when you're discouraged, you think you don't have any faith. You have faith in your spirit where God has placed it. But in your soulish man, the seat of your emotions, you can be discouraged, and discouraged people won't use their faith. Amen. I came up through the Vietnam era. A couple of my wife's uncles fought several terms in Vietnam. When we pulled out of Vietnam, you'll see the pictures of helicopters, the best weapons of war being cast off of carriers so the enemy couldn't get it. But we left the South Vietnamese army, the best armed army other than the United States, because they had our weapons of war to fight with. They had the weapons, the best there was, and we left it in their hands. But you know what happened? When we pulled out, the fight in them was pulled out of them. And when the fight in them, that's one thing they have to instill in Iraq and Afghanistan right now. Those people have to fight for their own freedom. Can you say, man, if they don't, we are committed to stay there forever. And we can't stay there forever and keep investing lives of good Americans. Can you say, man? But listen to me. They've got to get some fight in them. Amen. We can give them the weapons, but we can't give them the heart. Can you say, man? God has given us spiritual weaponry. I want you to know something about this armor that we have. It is impenetrable. It is not your armor. It is not yours. You do not fight with your armor. It's God's armor. Listen to this. Listen, in the time of David, Listen to this real carefully today. David is a shepherd boy. He has nothing to prove to anybody. See, great men of faith are not trying to prove that they have faith. Their life proves they have faith. They have nothing to prove to you and me. David did not set out to be king over Israel. David did not set out to be a great military leader like he became. He did not set out to be a giant killer. He set out to be a simple man of God that pleased God. Amen? And he praised God. He was the least of the sons of Jesse. And back then, if you were the least, you were not the spoiled one. And I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that as it goes today, the least one, and they're over here laughing at me. Slap them. No, I'm just kidding. Because they can't hit you back. You know they can't hit you back. The least of the son, the eldest was the double portion son. Down the line, they had respect. But the least one, the last one, was not the spoiled one. You know that, you know, he's the baby, you know, the poor baby. You see, the parents mellow by the time the least one comes along a little bit. Can you say amen? Yeah. Yeah, they whoop the firstborn and they kind of lighten up on that other, because he's so cute. Where did cute go when you were laying it on me? Amen. In David's day, the least, that last son of Jesse, he was the one stuck with all the dirty work. When they would go to the temple to worship, they left him out watching those sheep. You just stay here, keep the sheep, you know. When they went on these big business trips about selling sheep, you know, he's there with the sheep. He's got the dirty work. But he loves God. And nobody sees his love for God or his importance. And no one would think the least of the sons of Jesse would be somebody God would use to be the great king of Israel and a great deliverer, amen, before he became a great king. And David, this ruddy-faced shepherd boy, has a devoted heart to God, and he sits out there on the hillsides in God's great cathedral. Amen. The sky becomes his Sistine Chapel, and the clouds are the artwork of God. And he plays and sings before the Lord. Samuel goes down because Saul is beginning to compromise out of his stubbornness, and God is looking for someone who will absolutely be totally dependent on him and listen to him and obey him in everything. God actually said, I will find a man and I will choose a man after my own heart that will obey me in all that I tell him. Can you say amen? That's what he was looking for. That's still what he's looking for today. Can you say amen? And he found that in David. That heart to obey didn't mean that David didn't ever have a failure. He did. But he always came back to that center. The core of him was to obey God. And he would repent deeply when he would fail to do that and always come back. Christian victory. I'm not telling you you have to be defeated. But I'm telling you from time to time you're going to be. In the sense, not totally defeated, but in the sense, sometimes you're going to get angry. And sometimes you're not going to sin not. Sometimes you're going to say something you wish you hadn't said. And I don't talk about little four-letter words. I'm talking about the other hurtful things or hateful things. And by the way, what you say gets back to people, because whoever you say, now, this is between me and you, and they're saying, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm meeting with pastors right now. And what we say to one another, except the stuff that we don't mind telling, but what we say, the only way to have trust for one another, you know, we're supposed to confess our faults to one another, but you've got to make sure the other is somebody you can trust. Amen. And someone that won't judge you and won't tell other people to make you look bad. You got to have someone you can, and we're trying to build trust among ministers, to where we can be men, not pastors, not reverends, but men with burdens, battles, faults, failures, needs like anyone else, and trust each other enough to confess those things to one another and pray for one another that we all might be healed. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And we're building that trust. And it's not easy to build that trust. You have to get to know somebody, know that they love you. One thing that began to open me up to a brother that I'm meeting with of an entirely different denomination, but he loves God. I can tell that. He has personal issues. We all have issues. Is that he said, and if you need me for anything, and he's not saying it in a because we both opened up. We both confess our weaknesses. Our respect is because of our mutual honesty about our weaknesses. And he said, if you need me anytime, here's my number. If you need prayer, if you just want to talk, if you just need a friend, call me. Well, I haven't used that. I haven't needed that yet. It just, that kind of breakthrough came about a week ago. But I know he's there. And knowing he's there and that he's invited me, amen, as a friend in the Lord. We need that encouragement. Folks, I can't emphasize to you how much we need to be encouragers of one another. Praise God. Listen, Satan's grandest tool is discouragement. Because if he can get it into your heart, amen, into your life, amen, he can literally cause you to put down your shield. Amen. He can cause you to not mix faith with the word, and thereby the mighty sword of the Spirit. Listen, the sword of the Spirit intimidates the devil. Amen. He does not want to deal with this. Can you say amen? I don't want to deal with this. Amen. Anybody see Crocodile Dundee? And somebody pull this little switchblade on him? And he says, you call that a knife? And he pulls out this big Arkansas toothpick. That's like a Bowie knife for you people that are flatlanders. He pulls this out and he says, that's not a knife. Here's a knife. You know? And when you say, here's a knife. Did you know that switchblade looks that long if you're unarmed? It's only this long, but it looks that long. Amen. If somebody ever pulled a gun on me and the officer asked, what kind of gun was it? I would say, I have no idea, but the barrel was this big around. It's this big around. Maybe you can figure that out somehow. Can you say amen? Listen, when the devil is confronted with the word of God, it is quick, it's alive, and it is powerful. God backs it up personally. This is not something I can vouchsafe for. God backs up his word. He watches over it to perform it. Can you say amen? When John saw Jesus, amen, coming to absolutely seal Satan's doom, to once and for all have this battle done and over, he said a sword went out of his mouth. Do you know what that mighty weapon was? The same thing that we have in our mouth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Can you say amen? Listen, I want you to hear this today. The word of God in Jesus' mouth has no more authority than the word of God in your mouth, because it is, in fact, the word of God. Somebody say amen. It is written, defeated the devil in Jesus' day. When mixed with faith, it is written, mixed with faith, will defeat him in our day. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus was tempted of the devil, and he quoted three scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy, and the devil left him and tempted him no more, because he just got this and this and that. And he said, I've had enough. You're going to resist the devil. You're going to have to do more than just will to defeat him. You need to get the word of God in your heart, and then you need to get it in your mouth. The word of God is nigh thee in thy heart and in thy mouth. Let it not depart from your eyes, and don't let it depart from your heart, and don't let it depart from your mouth. God backs it up. He watches over his word to perform it. Can you say amen? When do we quit speaking the word of God in faith? When we're discouraged. Satan says, as long as I can keep them discouraged, they will not wield the mighty sword of the Spirit. As long as I can keep them discouraged, they will have faith, but they will not use it. The shield will come down. I can take down a soldier that is equipped to overcome if they just had the Spirit to fight. Can you say amen? Amen. Everybody say equipped to overcome. But you've got to have the Spirit to fight. Can you say amen? Not just the will to win alone. Your will is strong, but it's not that strong. You've got to be spiritually strengthened. And God grants that within, in the inward man. He puts faith in the inward man. Amen. The good news about this is that you can use your faith when you feel discouraged. Don't interpret feeling discouraged as having no faith. Because there's a man in the Bible by the name of Timothy that gets a letter from Paul, and he's a discouraged man. And Paul doesn't say, build your faith. He says, deal with your discouragement. Don't let it defeat you in and of itself. Listen, there's nobody in here above being discouraged. You can get discouraged in relationships because of someone that's hurt you deeply. You can get discouraged in the Lord if you pray and it's not answered and you don't understand why it's not answered. And you're going to have to deal with that. Can you say amen? David talked about discouragement this way. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, not if it ever happens, but when it happens. Can you say amen? And he's directing this to God, not to somebody else, but to God himself. Lead me, Lord, to that rock that is higher than I. Can you say amen? Part of reckoning your body to be dead is when you feel discouragement, recognize it as a feeling. Because that's exactly what it is, a feeling. It's not a fact. Can you say amen? The fact is God is still on the throne. The fact is He's still holding you firmly. Oh, I found out that God is right-handed. Can you say amen? Revelation. Amen. I'm left-handed, but God is right-handed because He said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. Normally, the right hand is the hand of dexterity and strength. God knows how to deliver the righteous, and He has the power to do it. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Giants did not defeat those people that came out of Egypt. Walled cities did not defeat them. That generation that didn't inherit the promised land were not defeated by imposing armies, walled cities, and great giants. They were defeated by words that led them into discouragement where they would not use their faith. Amen? They said, and this is good military strategy, let's go spy out the land. Let's see what we're going to be facing when we get over. Well, the 10 spies came back, and they brought a report back. And they brought eight of them brought an accurate report, but they left God out. And let me tell you something about the report. It's not accurate if God isn't involved in it. It's not the whole truth if God isn't involved in it. The truth is, Sherry was not supposed to have children. Sherry, according to the medical profession, is supposed to be barren. That's the truth as far as that physical world and natural world goes. But when you involve God in it, amen, all things are possible with God. Suddenly, that truth takes a new dimension. It's possible for someone who is barren to have a child. Go ask Elizabeth. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And all things are possible to him that believeth. Satan's strategy is to take that away from you, to steal that from you. There's a man named Asa. When he used his faith, and his faith was in God, great victories came. Great armies came up against Israel, and he stood his ground, and God gave grand supernatural victories to Israel. But he got so involved in God's great victories and began to just look at things once again in the natural, moved out of faith, and he was diseased greatly in his feet. We may call that gout. Gout can actually kill you it's not just an inconvenience if we don't deal with it. And he was greatly diseased in his feet. And the Bible said, and he died and slept with his fathers, but said it wasn't time for him to die and sleep with his father. There was a reason. Said he died and slept with his fathers until the year that he died, because he sought the physicians and not God. That doesn't mean it's wrong to go to a doctor. What it means to do, it's wrong to go to a doctor and not involve God. Because if you don't involve God, then you're left to what they say without any hope of the supernatural kicking in. All they can tell you is what the natural circumstance is. God says it doesn't matter what the natural circumstance is. I'm a supernatural God. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. In the natural, I was given a death sentence because I had cancer of the blood and it was in advanced stages and it had affected my liver and caused me to become jaundiced with hepatitis. In the natural, amen, the doctor told them to make me comfortable and just bring me on an emergency basis because we had no insurance to the county hospital for me to die in the county hospital. But God had another plan. Hallelujah. My dad decided that report is not the full report. Amen. The full report can't be given till we bring God into the picture. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! And I'm going on 63, January 20th. Amen. I will turn 63. Amen. I was supposed to be dead before I was 9 years of age. I'm glad my dad didn't get discouraged by the report that he heard. I'm glad someone had picked up a book called The Word of the Living God that God watches over to perform. I'm glad this book declares a God to you that never changes and never fails. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So Paul writes Timothy and said, I know there's faith in you. You're just discouraged. We think if we're discouraged, our faith is gone. He says, no, faith's right where God put it. You're strengthened with might, and the inward man still got it. But the outward man is the one that is ruling right now. You know what fasting is for as it relates to faith? The outward man is subdued to the inward man's will. Hello? Amen? They said, why could not we cast out this devil? Said, it's your lack of faith. Amen? And then he said, these kind only go by fasting and prayer. Well, fasting must do something to our faith. Can you say, man, it must accelerate our faith. It must let our faith loose. Because we're subjecting the outward man, where all the doubts and fears and worries and whys and wherefores come, to the inward man who says, I believe. I believe whether I see or not. I believe whether the circumstances say it or not. Amen. It don't matter what the report is. I believe God. Remember that song we used? I believe God. I believe God, ask what you will and it shall be done, trust and obey. I believe God. We're going to be up against circumstances where we have to choose to believe God. And we have to choose it over what our feelings may be feeding us. And you know what fasting does? The outward man is beginning to be subjugated to the inward man. Hallelujah. Though the outward man perish, the inward man keeps getting renewed day by day. You know what fasting does? It says, your outward man says, I'm hungry. And he means it. He's hungry. And you're going to feel it too. But your inward man says, I'm more hungry for God than I am for food. You know what Job said? I've esteemed thy word, O Lord, more than my necessary food. It's because I'm more than just an outward man. There's a man inside the man. And I got to feed that man. You know what the Word of God is? Soul food. Amen. And it's food for your inward man. Praise God. Amen. You may think you can stay out of church and find every reason to do so, but I'm going to tell you something about you today. Inside, you're emaciated. Inside, you're not looking too hot. Can you say amen? You may be real robust on the outside, but on the inside, there's a shriveled up something that needs. Listen, when I don't water my plants, you know what happens to them? They start to shrivel and wither away. But if I water them and I fertilize them or feed them some of that vigorous stuff, amen, they get vigorous. Can you say amen? They start coming out and lifting their limbs and bearing their fruit, praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we're not calling you to some little bitty meal here. We're calling you to a feast. Amen. The script, I love the song that said, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And to the hungry, calleth now, come and dine. The Old Testament writer said, right in the midst of corrective judgments in Israel, even though God says, I'm going to judge you, chastise you, I won't leave you, I'll bring you back, I'll restore you, I'll keep my covenant, can I still love you? Amen. He said, in the bitterness of all of this rebellion and judgment that's come, thy words were found. I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. David is the gopher. He's the least of the sons of Jesse. God wants to anoint him a new king, and he wants to pick his own heart, someone after his heart, not let the people vote on this. God wants to make the choice. God knows what he's looking for. He said, I will choose a man after my own heart who will obey me in all that I speak unto him. And he sends the prophet to Jesse's house, and he begins to present his sons. Of course, the little least of the ones has got to do the dirty work while they get the big stuff. And so the eldest come. Would you please be the eldest today, since you are? Just for a minute. I won't embarrass you, I promise. This is not a bad thing. Eliab did look kingly. Amen? Now see, I could see him as a kingly sort. I'm looking for a little gray. I have to look at the beard to find it. Amen? A little salt and pepper doesn't hurt, because that brings you honor. You've seasoned. You've been down the road of life. So when Eliab showed up, he looked kingly. He looked mighty. Amen. And so Samuel took one look at the firstborn, and he says, great goodness alive. That, he just rushed forward with the anointed oil. I mean, that's got to be, I mean, that everybody knows he's a man. I mean, you know, he's, I won't say anything about Mr. Obama's ears, but his ears even look kingly. Can you? I know Will Smith wanted to play him in a movie. That's all I got to say about that. Will Smith wanted to play Obama in a movie. Bless our president. Everybody say, bless our president. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He needs it. He's turning gray. He's going to gray up. Yeah, he's going to be grayer than you by the time it's all over. Can you say amen? Listen to me. He looked at him and rushed forward with the anointing oil. And God stopped him and said, did I tell you to do that? He said, no, but look at him. He said, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Now, I need a David. And you're too tall to be a shepherd boy. So I'd like you to get on your knees right here beside Big Brother. Come on. I need a David. Okay. And see, you come down the line from the firstborn to the one. And all these other sons are brought before Samuel, and God says, no, 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 no. And then he says to Jesse, have you got any more kids? They said, yeah, we got old Dave over there. He out watching the sheep and, you know, taking care of stuff and all that stuff. He said, you better go get him. Can you say, man? So he brings in this guy. He brings in this guy. And God tells Samuel something Samuel would have never done. He said, I want you to walk over to that young man right there, and I want you to take that horn of oil, and I want you to pour that whole thing out on his head. Amen? I have chosen my next king of Israel. Can you say amen? David didn't understand what all that meant yet. You can get up. I didn't mean to humiliate you. But you are the youngest, and you must pay. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's the last person we would pick. We see people prancing around a platform talking about their great faith. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not how God picks people. Can you say amen? David wasn't prancing around talking about his great faith. What God saw in him was a humble and a contrite spirit. He did see a trusting heart, but it was a childlike, pure kind of faith. Hallelujah. That didn't want no glory for himself and wanted all of the glory for God. Can you say amen? He picked him a David. A man who could be discouraged, but in his discouragement would say, when my heart's overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For the Lord has been a refuge for me and a mighty tower against the enemy. Can you say amen? A man who went through discouragement, amen, to the point that he said, Oh Lord, oh that I had the wings of a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest and hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Can you say amen? That's why I'm not hard on addicted people. I know what they're going through. They're finding the wings of cocaine. They're trying to fly away and find rest for their souls. But there is an answer for them, and it's not condemning them. It's understanding that they're without God and without hope. Hope in this present world. Give them a God that can give them hope. Hallelujah. And they won't need the cocaine. Give them a God that can fulfill them, and they won't need the drugs and the alcohol. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Musholaba kisanda letoro roshalaba handadaba sitianda. David has no aspirations to be king of Israel. No political designs on that. He's wanting to be a faithful son to his daddy, faithful servant to his God. After that anointing, things begin to happen quickly. Because David, once again, even though they saw him being anointed, they didn't set him up as something great in their sight. He's still the least. Right back to the fields he goes. He's out in the field by himself, their own business. There he is by himself. And a lion says, look at him. He's a southern lion. He said, look at him. And you say amen. All them big boys are gone. And all that's left is this little bitty teenage boy here. Man, I'm hungry. Look at them sheep. I'm going to have me one of those sheep, and he can't stop me. I'm not at all intimidated by that boy over there. Fact is, if he getting away, I'm going to take some limbs off of him. I might even taste him while I'm at it. Can you say amen? But I'm going to have me a sheep today, and that guy ain't going to stop me. And he comes boldly down, amen, to get him one of the sheep from that herd. And David has now, something has happened in David's life that hadn't. David was always committed to keeping the sheep, but something now has happened. Something's been added to help him keep the sheep. David's been anointed. Can you say amen? Listen, they can call it too much pizza. They can call us every name there is. But mark it down. Satan fears that anointing. He's seen what it did in Samson. He saw what it did in David. He knows what it can do in you and me. But listen, all of these gifts and all of these abilities and all of this armor, we have to use our faith. Amen. According to that measure of faith, we operate the gifts of the Spirit. If Satan can get at our faith, all of this comes down. Amen. But if our faith can stand strong, then the man on the inside of the man, though we outward man perish, we don't give any credibility to that. The inward man stands up, praise God, and is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. So listen to me. David goes out and the anointing of God is on him. He grabs that lion and he destroys it. Lion's carcass is laying over there and the flies are gathering. And a bear comes along and sees the same thing and thinks the same way. I don't see Eliab with his huge staff out here. I see David. I see that little teenage boy. I'm going to have me one of those sheep. I like lamb chops. Amen? I might just take a lamb out of that herd. When he comes down and roars, David stands up. The anointing kicks in. Amen? And boom, he kills a bear. Amen? Now a lion is laying dead, a bear is laying dead, and a shepherd boy is writing songs of praise to his God. Can you say amen? Composing psalms of praise and honor to his God. Amen. Listen to me. Listen. Oh, Saul is getting in bad rebellion. Amen. Somehow or another, his peace is gone. He's being tormented. Amen. He's opened the door to the devil. The devil's taken advantage of that open door. Though he was anointed and appointed of God to lead Israel, he's compromised. That anointing's laying dormant. Amen. And now Satan is tormenting his mind. And he goes and he says, Is there anybody that can give me relief? Someone that can pray soothingly on an instrument. They said, one of his servants said, I know somebody that can not only pray soothingly, amen, when he plays, he worships his God when he plays. When he plays from his heart. It's not just pretty music. It's power-filled music. Can you say amen? And he went and got David. Can you say amen? And David began to play, not for the king. Oh, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some Christian artists that don't just play to the crowd, but play for the Lord. And we get to watch them worship. Can you say amen? And I can't just watch anybody worship. When somebody starts worshiping, I want to get out in that water with them. Can you say amen? I don't go to see a show, a presentation, or a performance. There's a God, and the music concerning Him is exclusively for His worship, His honor, His glory. Hallelujah. Woo! And that's the way David played. Some people say, I'm going to perform before the king. He said, no, I'm going to go down there before the king and praise my God. Hallelujah. And he did. And when he did, it'll give you a little insight into why Satan hates us to get into true, authentic worship. Because, listen, the Bible said as long as David played, amen, the demon spirits were stymied, paralyzed. They could not operate in that praise that was being offered up to God. Amen. Listen, if praise makes the devil nervous, we ought to give him a nervous breakdown. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Every time we open our mouth. David hears, and nobody's seeing this but God and David. Amen? And David hears that a giant has come up and a great Philistine army. The Philistine army is so overwhelming. But the king of the Philistines says to Saul, the king of Israel, and they used to do this. There's going to be a whole lot of unnecessary bloodshed here. You say you've got a God and He's with you. Well, we got a giant with us. We can't see your God, so you claim Him, disclaim Him. We don't know about all that, but I do know what we got with us. We have a man like no man in your army or our army, and he will fight as our champion. And you send your champion, and whichever defeats the other will lay down their weapons too. King of Israel says, all right. And then he goes back and says, who are we going to send? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Who are we going to send? David hears about this stalemate and this time, this countdown. You've got to put a man on that battlefield or acquiesce. Can you say amen? To the enemy. You've got to put somebody on that battlefield. God has been grooming a man for that battlefield, and he's the least likely man because he's not a military man. Amen. He's not a fighting man. He knows nothing about all the weapons of war as man knows the weapons of war. But he knows so much about spiritual warfare, and he doesn't even know how much he knows. But we're going to find out how much he knows. Can you say amen? Because he didn't go down there to say, boy, I've proved my faith here and proved my faith. No, he was doing his duty in keeping those sheep. That humble shepherd heart was beating in him. He had nothing to prove, only wanting to please God. Isn't it amazing how God chooses? Amen. And you know what he came down there for? He said, my brothers are serving in Saul's army, and they haven't been able to come home and eat or anything, and I know they're out there on the battlefield where they can't get access to a lot of food. I'm going to get some loaves of bread, and I'm going to get a bunch of cheese, and I'm going to take it down to give to my brothers. I'm going to take my brothers that I love some bread and cheese. Amen. He went down there to take, listen, read it for yourself. He didn't go down there and fight no giants. He went down there with a servant heart. But don't be surprised if God cultivates a servant heart in you. He won't give you an anointing to slay a giant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what Paul said? This giant slaying apostle. Amen. Listen, listen. Paul said, listen, Paul said, I write to you as Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's a stronger word in the Greek. It means a bond slave. Can you? I've given my heart totally to Him. Amen. He owns my heart. He owns my life. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And I'm your servant for His sake. But the servant heart was intact. He comes to bring bread and cheese. And he comes down and Eliab meets him. Eliab meets him and said, "What are you doing here? Why aren't you out keeping the sheep? This is men's work." And David looks at him, and now he's sizing up the situation. There's no champion over here. There's this huge giant over here. And he says, "Is there not a cause? Isn't there some reason beyond just all of this? That is there anybody going to go out there and defend the name of our God and our nation?" And of course, Eliab isn't going to go out there, so he lets David alone. Amen. That's a big dude. Does anybody know the dimensions? I used to know it in the cubits, but translated, he's bigger than Shaq Man. Amen. Shaquille O'Neal, 9'8". But he wasn't just big. Listen, there was something spiritual about this man too. I don't want you to think size was the only issue here in this battle. Amen. Behind this enemy and behind your enemy. Yes. Remember, our argument's not just with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. This man, I believe, was demonized on top of that. There was a little man, the demoniac of the Gadarenes, and chains couldn't hold him. So this man wasn't just tall and intimidating. He, in battle, he was furious and undefeatable. Because there was a spiritual force wanting to destroy Israel. And he was just an agent in the hand. And I believe an anointing comes on them just like it came on David. But it's a different anointing. It's a lesser anointing. But make no doubt about it, if we're going to cast the devil out of somebody, don't be surprised that a 98-year-old little lady, amen, could one man couldn't hold. Until the devil is subdued. I've seen it, and I can tell you. Listen to me. Listen to me. But don't be afraid of that, because we got the greater one. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen. David was going out against a demonized giant with a spiritual force behind him. And here's the temptation. David tells Saul, well, first they try to discourage him. Discouragement can come from your own ranks, not just the world. Fact is, the world can't say much to discourage me. Y'all can get to me. People that I love and look to for support, they can get to me. So listen to me carefully. They said, David says, "Wait a minute. Why is there no one going out here? Well, where's our faith? We serve a mighty God. We're in covenant with God Almighty." They said, "But David, have you seen the size of this man? Have you seen the size of this man?" And David said, "I've slain the lion. I've slain the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" He's proven the anointing. He knows it's with him. And he knows the cause is correct. Amen. He knows God will go before him on that battlefield, and he starts talking like it. Amen? The word of God is nigh thee, even it. He starts talking like it. And regardless of what they said to discourage him, dissuade him, Saul recognized something he used to let work in him was now working in this young man. And he said, "He's the least likely of all my military men, but he's got faith in God, and that's the only thing that will defeat this man." And he said, "That man can be our champion." And David walks up and Saul says, come here, son, and takes him over. Amen. And his armor bearer begins to give David all of Saul's armor that the king himself wore in battle. And he starts to take and put on Saul's helmet. And you can see him, you know, looking underneath. He puts on Saul's breastplate and his little arms are hanging outside, look like a turtle on his hind legs. Can you say, man? He's really good looking, laughable now, like we look at the devil when we think that man's armor will substitute for God's armor. God's armor is invisible, but it is so viable. It is so real. Can you say, man, spiritual armor scares the devil? Can you say, man, because he knows it's impenetrable and he can. It's God's armor. It's not ours. Hallelujah. Amen. And David started to go to battle with it because it seemed appropriate. Logic was kicking in. And faith then rises up and said, you don't need that. That will be of no help to you. It's in the way. It's cumbersome. And he takes it all off and lays it down. But he had put it on. He was that close to defeat on that field. If he'd walked out there with Saul's armor, dependent on Saul's breastplate, Saul's helmet, he knew that's not how I slayed the lion and the bear. The anointing, the anointing, the anointing breaks the yoke. Can you say, man? He put that armor off and he went out there in his shepherd clothes. He had one thing that he used. Instead of the shepherd's rod that they threw, he used a sling. And I don't mean the kind that Dennis the Menace used, you know, the little wide thing. No, he could put a rock that big in this sucker, and he had a braided leather, and he had this pouch on the end. He put the rock in it, and he would go like that, and when he turned one end of it loose, the rock would fly in the direction he sent it. He went out with the sling. And he came, and the Bible said that the giant looked at him coming out there and stumbling around in this armor and then taking it off, looking all clumsy and little. And he said, I asked for a man to fight me, and you send me a boy. I'm going to take his head off and feed him to the buzzards. And David said, you know what David said? No, I'm going to take your head off. Amen. And then the Bible said he did something absolutely out of character for anybody facing a foe like this. He ran toward the giant. Now, the giant must be thinking, this boy is the biggest fool that I have ever met. Amen? I can hear him thinking it. He said, come on, fool. Amen? I can hear him thinking it. He said, you won't send me a man? It doesn't matter. If this is your champion, I'll kill him anyway. So let him come. David said, I'm going to take your head off of you, and I'm coming. And he ran toward him. And I believe that anointing just rose up in David. Because he wasn't just defying King Saul. David said he's defying the armies of Israel. By the way, the armies of Israel is not just the people you can put in combat boots and send to a battlefield. The armies of Israel were way beyond that. Come on, the armies of Israel was God's covenant angels around that nation. Can you say, man, Michael is in that great army, the archangel. Praise God. Listen to me. Listen, you've defied what? The armies of Israel. These bunch of boys following Saul in combat boots? No. The angel of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. The armies of Israel and the armies that fight with us, amen, are heavenly, mighty in battle. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Jesus is called the Lord of Hosts. That means the commander and chief of heaven's armies. Hallelujah. In a sense, he was going to meet the Lord of Hosts on that battlefield. And he was going to meet the host also. But God chose to do it through a weak vessel. So the glory would be God. They were going to sing David's praises, but David never took it. He gave it to God his whole life. Can you say, man, in spite of his failure, he gave God the glory. He gave God the honor. He wasn't after the king's seat. And he wasn't after the praises of the people. He just had a heart. He said, as the hart pants after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. Servant-hearted David to God, to Saul, to his brethren, to the sheep on that lonely outpost where he kept them. The Bible said that the giant challenged him, and David answered with faith words, "You come at me with sword and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." Not in the name of Saul or in David, but in the name of the Lord thy God, my God. He picked up 5 smooth stones. Victory is never, ever. Listen, we are more than conquerors. I've heard other reasons. I heard the giant had brothers, you know, the sons of Anak or something, leading back in lineage. And in case another one showed up, he had enough to do. Now, I really believe it was very simplistic. I believe he said, "I'm going to take 5. I know I don't need but 1, but I'm picking up 5 here because God's victories are not represented in just one. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Amen. I'm going to take this man down and have victory left over. Amen. It's not going to take everything I got to do this. It's not going to take everything you got to win either. But it is going to take a commitment to God to get in the wheelbarrow. Amen. Even when it looked like God is blindfolded. He can see through the blindfold, by the way. And he's not cheating when he does it. He's seen the end from the beginning. David took that sling. He ran toward the giant, stopped, and he did that. And the giant is thinking, "Come on, sucker." I mean, you can hear him. He's got... And he lets it go. First guided missile. I don't know in the books where the first guided missile, the technology came. What year? The first guided, not just missile, but guided missile. Amen. Heat-seeking missile. The airplane go this way, the missile say, I mean, you know, guys looking in his rearview mirror say, "Whoop, there he is. Whoop, there he is." I mean, everywhere I go, the missile's going. They used to call them sidewinders. Some of the first ones, because you turn this way, they follow the heat. Amen. The giant, I don't even know if he ducked. I don't even know if he understood. But he was about to get a lesson. Because he let it go, it struck him. Dead center. I don't believe David had to aim, because this was in the name of the Lord. When you let it fly in the name of the Lord, from the time you let your faith loose, God takes over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God takes over. God takes over. God takes over. Instead of knocking him backward from the momentum, it hit him. He was stunned. And the scripture said he fell forward. David went over. Now, this is kind of gruesome. So if you want to look the other way, you may. He pulled the giant's sword out. Now, he's not just got him down. He's going to humiliate him before this army. Puts his foot up on his back. The giant's laying face down. He takes the giant's own weapon. And it must have been huge. And David, under the anointing, didn't matter now. He picked it up and he brought it down. And that head rolled off of that body. And the fear of the Lord came on that army, because they said, that boy didn't do that. Come on, he bad, but he ain't that bad. Can you say, man? Can you say, man? He ain't that bad. There's something else at work here. There's something beyond that little boy out there. Amen. They've been claiming a God in Israel. We said, "We'll show you a man here." They said, "Well, we'll show you a God." But David showed them a God that they couldn't see, but he could work, he could move. How can we fight an invisible God that can put his hand on a little boy and make him a champion? Fear gripped their heart. They begin to turn and run. Let me seal this message this morning by saying this. Every one of us have said over and over again what we would have done for God if the devil hadn't come against us. And the devil will always come against you. We've got to get rid of that attitude. God wants us to get a look at the backside of Satan. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in this room. I believe we're getting ready to see the backside of the devil. Submit yourself unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In my family, I'm already getting a glimpse at the backside of the devil. Praise God. In my ministry, I'm getting a glimpse at the backside of the devil. The devil's going to keep on coming against us, but he's going to keep losing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Philistine says, we can't fight this. We can't fight this. And they turn and they ran for their lives. And Israel gave chase. The heart of all of those people came alive in faith. And so many times, one person takes the faith initiative to inspire others to rise up. Hallelujah. And that's why your faith and my faith is crucial to not just our victory, but to the victory of so many other people. Can you say amen? If Satan could take my wife and I down right now through discouragement and we gave up and backslid or some awful thing, it would not just take us down. It would take a lot of other people, and not just people in this congregation, but people that have known us for years and years and years. But I want you to know Christ is on the throne. Jesus is Lord. Amen. I've been through many trials and battles, but I am not bitter. I am better. I can honestly say the devil's plots have failed in making me bitter. I've got a lot to be bitter about, but I forgive in the name of Jesus Christ. I do good to them that despitefully used me. Praise God. Amen. And God has stood by me, stood up for me. Praise the Lord. And He's in this battle with us. I want you to know that today. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be utterly contemned. Can you say amen? That means all of this wagging tongue stuff. God said, I'm gonna bless you in spite of that. In fact, I believe He's going to bless me more for it. The more people that put me down, the more God's just going to lavish His love on me. Hallelujah. If I don't get mad at them and I keep trusting Him. Hallelujah. Every tongue that rises up shall be contemned. What are they going to say when they can't deny the blessings of the Lord? You say, well, Brother Bimble, look at your little church. This is not just my church here. My church goes beyond these walls where God sends His word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All somebody else's got's what's inside them walls. They have to preach to the same old saints every Sunday. I get to preach to people I've never met and may never meet till I get to heaven, because God has opened a door and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. Woo! And I'm excited about that. God is in it. Little is much. God is in it. Praise God. Brother, would you come today? This giant killer had no problem and was not threatened because of the anointing with any giant without. But I could take you into a whole other service in the Psalms and tell you where his threat was. And it was within. He had giants. He had a giant of lust within that just about destroyed his walk with God and his kingship and his reign. He had giants of fear and discouragement stand up, and he would cry out to the Lord for victory. Amen. The language that overcomes discouragement is not this bold talk that you take down physical giants with. It's a different language. It's a language of deep humility, desperate dependence on God. And David said, I cried unto the Lord. He didn't just boast about his faith. When you're down in that valley, you don't talk about your faith, but your God. Can you say amen? And in that valley, it didn't take that bold. See that stuff he run against the giant? Who are you? I'm going to take your head off. You don't say that when you're discouraged. Here's what you say when you're discouraged to come out of that valley. Whom have I in heaven but you? And whom have I on earth but you? Can you say amen? You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my strong tower. I cried unto the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from all of my fears. That giant comes when we are weak and we trust exclusively to God. We cry out to Him, and that is a form of faith. People would call it that it's not right. You just confess your way and stay bold in your confession. No, you got to stay humble in your dependence to get this deliverance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You got to acknowledge that you're weak, but He is strong. Hallelujah. And he said these great words. He lifted me from the miry clay. I was so deep in that I couldn't get out, but He lifted me from the miry clay. He established my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart. And the humble are going to hear thereof. people crushed by life are going to hear what God's done for David. They're going to take courage and be glad. Because they said, if God can bring David through, he can bring me through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise today. Hallelujah. Faith's language is mighty when it confronts the enemy without and says, on no uncertain terms, you're coming down. But faith is even purer and more powerful when it confronts the enemy of our own weakness and inabilities, discouragement within, and says, Lord, I'm crying to you for your mercy and your grace. And God says, you got it. To them that hath no might and will acknowledge it, he increases strength, the Old Testament declares. And Paul in the New said, when I am weak, Brother Taylor, and I cry for that help, it comes. And when that help comes, it's a pure form of faith. It's even more powerful because at that moment, true strength comes to me. Can you say, man, I am truly made strong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our great God. Do you have that anywhere? Our great God. I want to give him praise. I want to lift up his name and spread his fame. How many people in here are weak enough to be made strong? You actually feel that you need what David was talking about when he talked about his grace, his mercy, God being his shield. The shield of faith is trusting God for your deliverance. It's not you standing, making your faith do the work. It's your God defending you. You're my shield. You're my glory. You're my lifter. Listen, this is for that within. And you are the what? My shield, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Praise God. If he hadn't lifted up my head, I'd have laid my shield down, dropped my sword, went off into a cave with Elijah, and sung the blues till Jesus come. But he is the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise today. Are you ready to give him praise today? Anyone that ever needs the Lord, the altar is open to you. Praise God. Amen. We've had a lot of opportunities for people to come to Christ. No one has to go out of this world without Jesus today. How many need his victories in your life? You're desperate for his victories in your life. Let's seek the Lord. Let's get his word down inside of us. Amen. Let's stand by.